was overrated, but a lot was a little too complicated. See, zero didn't satisfy me, a million didn't make me happy. That's when I learned the lesson that it's all about your perceptions. Hey, are you a papa or a superstar? So you act, so you feel, so you are. It ain't about the size of your car, it's about the size of the faith in your heart. There's hope, it doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh, you better thank God for that. There's hope, it doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh, better thank God for that. There's hope. Off in the back country of Brazil, I met a young brother that made me feel that, I could accomplish anything. You see, just like me, he wanted to sing. He had no windows and no doors. He lived a simple life and was extremely poor. On top of all of that, he had no eyesight, but that didn't keep him from seeing the light. He said, us are like in the USA, and all I did was complain. Living here is paradise. He taught me paradise is in your mind. You know that there's hope, it doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh, you better thank God for that. There's hope, it doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh, you better thank God for that. Time I turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy, there's hope. You let it, it'll drive you crazy, there's hope. I'm taking back my power today, there's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising, there's hope. The government, they keep on lying. We gotta keep on surviving, keep living our truth and do the best we can do, cause there's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh, you better thank God for that.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day out here, and we just started to get some rain flowing down off the Pali or the mountains for those of you on the mainland listening. Or in Wisconsin, South Carolina, North Carolina, Italy. Thanks for joining in and circling around listening. So, unfortunately, really a sad occasion today with the incident in Florida, or Orlando, at a nightclub, a bar called The Pulse. And it's kind of hard to sit here and talk about so many things. And I had intended to speak on a couple of things, a variety of subjects today. And if you find that you want to share your thoughts about that incident in Orlando, feel free to give a call, and 524-1080 is the number. And later on, more than likely, we'll talk about new developments at Kauai. The Hawaii Dairy Farms give an update on that, and the draft environmental impact statement has been issued. But it's rather difficult to talk about all of those things when there are things that are still up in the air as to family members being impacted, and just a sad occasion. But what I will say is that I will lend this hour to, if any of you have any thoughts of, I think we're all missing the point, as we've done so often historically. The gentleman that is allegedly responsible for shooting the people there in the nightclub, they've connected him with supposedly the Muslim faith, and on and on. And I'm not questioning whether they have or not successfully, but it gives me the opportunity to say that we as Americans need to tone down our rhetoric, because if we're honest with one another, what set these people off, or any person mentally ill? And if you're willing to kill someone, you're mentally ill. I'm sorry, and I'm not a psychiatrist, but I'm going to just say you're mentally ill. It's just, if you don't agree, it's no problem. But in my book, in my opinion, you're mentally a mental misfit. And so just think about this gentleman being here, however he got here, whatever his religious background. And I can only recall and remind myself that the airwaves here in America were filled with, rhetoric, sputum that talked about, I'm not going to bake a cake for this gay person, or this, I have a right not to serve you, I have a right, I'm a government official, but I'm not going to issue a wedding, a marriage license, I'm not going to do this. And currently we have this discussion about transgenders going to the restrooms and all. I think that we personally, we are responsible whether we want to own up to it or not. We contribute to that. If there is a sick mind festering somewhere in some dark, slimy bathroom that wants to hurt someone or do harm to someone, not because of his religious, because he's just sick, and we fill the airways with it, and you turn on the Fox News, NBC, and the people are defending it, and people are attacking and assaulting the gay community, and on. And our legislators, you go to North Carolina, there's a bill there to prohibit the activities of gay people. And so I think that many of us need to own up to some of this rhetoric and tone it down. I really do. And I think the FBI and anybody else that is responsible for ferreting out these sick people should start to include all people that speak in those terms. Not this thing about domestic terrorism. Well, hell, if you turn on the radio and you got a media entity, a conglomerate that sits there and just hammers away and brings in all the legislators and congressmen and state senators and city councils who are just spewing hatred. If that don't make a climate for hatred and some freak, some sick person, whether, you know, the abortion clinics. We've seen people there get shot and killed and murdered because they are participating in conducting or doing abortions or working at those facilities. So, America, I think that we're going to see more of this because we're not taking ownership of this. We are, I would think, a sick mind might think it's the go-ahead to do it. Just add to the chorus. But again, I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a terrorist expert. But I do know that how many times can we constantly wake up And for those of you that want to talk about gun control, here's a program. Supposedly, this person obtained and worked and had all of that and was licensed to carry, supposedly. This is a preliminary information. So that is the real issues here, you know. And it brings me to the occasion to talk about what happens in I know friends that are gay, and they are having a hell of a time just getting a job. They are in battles and have been dismissed by the Catholic Church, and some have said they've been excommunicated because of their orientation, sexual orientation. So where does the hatred present itself, and where does it manifest in for violence? Is it, it's the whole thing, how we react, how we treat the gay community, how we treat gay people. So I'm just really concerned. And we're going to be talking around on many subjects, but and I'm going to speak to a young lady that is actually in Orlando right now. Her name is Caitlin, and she has ties here, and apparently she is at the scene there. And so I'll speak with her and ask her to share with us some of the what is going on there. Aloha, Caitlin. How are you? Hello? Hello? We had a bad connection there. Let's see. Give me 1 minute here. We're going to take a break and see if we can connect.
Pray.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. I have Caitlin, the Legrin is from, she's from Hawaii, born and raised in Waianae, and she's actually there in Orlando, and she was not at the scene, but has visited the club quite on a number of occasions. Caitlin, are you there? Hello? Are you there? Caitlin? Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, hi. Hello.
Yeah, thank you. Again, you're calling from Orlando now, right? And can you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then you're there in Orlando now?
Well, I was born and raised in Oahu, west side on the Waianae side. I came to Florida about 13 years ago, and been out here since. That's pretty much kind of like the basics. I have been to this nightclub numerous times. It was always a safe haven for everyone, you know, just to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear such a terroristic act on this, you know, it really hurts. It really, you know, like, it makes me physically sick that somebody could, you know, just do this.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And so right now are you there at the scene, or you mentioned about the donating blood? What are you doing now?
No, I am not at the scene right now. That part of downtown Orlando, it is shut down until tomorrow. As far as I know, the FBI and the Orlando Police Department and all of Orange County first responders are still working the scene, and we are still finding out more information as this, you know, like, develops.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, my friends and I are doing a part into donating blood as, everyone, you know, this is a time of need.
Mm-hmm.
So there are multiple locations out here spread out through Orlando. And, it's just great to see everyone pull together, you know, in this time of tragedy.
Mm-hmm. And are there difficulty in getting people, family members, I guess, is trying to reach different individuals or from out of state and what have you?
They've pretty much set up to where, you know, if there's any information on family members they need to find out on, that they set up counseling areas or even, you know, grieving centers.
Mm-hmm.
The Orlando ORMC, one of the biggest hospitals in Orlando right now, they're doing their best and, you know, trying to reach out to family members, you know, that have been immediately affected by this.
And what can you describe the climate or the environment, the everyday climate there? Do you have people speaking of hatred and openly, or this has just presented itself as just suddenness?
You'll have, you know, like your disagreements here and there. There's always going to be a place where, you know, people are going to hate on other people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for this to really happen, and you just never really think that something like this would actually happen. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I've said, I've been to Pulse numerous times, and not once have I ever thought that there was going to be some kind of act of violence on this.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just something not every day, you know, that we that live in Orlando, you know, ever thought that anything like this would happen.
Just no warning. I mean, just the basic rhetoric that's being bannered about, but nothing of real hatred or overt acts that you can recall, huh?
No, nothing that I could ever recall of anything like that. I mean, you know, you'll have, you know, like your typical violence here and there, but, you know, just nothing that would be set on, you know, just like on a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
For this to even, like, happen.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm still, you know, like, in shock over, you know, over this incident. Because you just never think that, like I said, anything like this would happen. Especially with this location being so close to where I live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about, like, 10 minutes down from where I live. So you just never really think that you're going to wake up one day and, you know, here's your city on the news for, like, one of the biggest terroristic attacks in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe the makeup of that community? Is it primarily, is it what they call a gayborhood or neighborhood or community of gays? Or what? How do they describe it just normally without the senseless act here?
It really did cater to a lot of the LGBT, you know, mm-hmm. community. But, you know, like, the way how I could describe it is it was just a place where people could just be themselves without being judged or, you know, like, being spat out any hate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there are communities that are very close-knit, and, you know, it's a place where you can just be yourself without having to go through that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is there any active legislation in that area that that's in opposition that or impacts gay people negatively there, opposing gay activities in Orlando? Is there any recent rules or any legislative efforts to do anything, such as in North Carolina or, you know, the...
I mean, as far as I know, I honestly, I don't really like to pay attention to politics. It's just not really my forte.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I know, I have not seen anything that would oppose the, you know, like the gay community with anything.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I see the way how Orlando is, they are just more accepting of the community. And, you know, they're all for, you know, like equal rights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just to be targeted, you know, like, everyone could see it as, like, either a hate crime or a terrorist attack. But, you know, like, either way, nobody deserves this.
Yeah, well, our wishes are with you and prayers, I'm sure. But can you describe the pulse itself? And is it when you go many bars, they'll have a bouncer to at least a minimum to look for teenage visitors or underagers. What can you describe the pulse and what it's like in the screening and possibly is there security or what have you?
As far as I can remember, it has been a while since I have been there. I was there, going there, like, in my early 20s, so about, like, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was always, you know, like, security there, and there was always someone there that would be checking IDs. It is an area that is always busy, so they always had Orlando PD out there as well, assisting.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the times that I have gone, you know, they were thorough at mm-hmm. checking everybody. But, you know, there's always the one person that falls through the cracks, and, you know, unfortunately, it unfolds to something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I know on updates, the person that, you know, that done the attack, as far as I know, they called 911 and proclaimed their,
their ignorance.
I would say it was like a religious attack.
Mm-hmm.
They proclaimed their, you know, whatever it is to Islam before all this had happened. And, I'm still with everyone else on this case too, gathering bits and pieces here. I have been hearing that they diverted a distraction and then was able to slip through into the nightclub.
Mm-hmm. And this is, I guess, a large room. The club itself, the interior of it, is very well lighted, or just a bar where there's the strobe lights and all of that going on.
It would be like your, like a typical, like, nightclub. There's you know, like inside bars,
mm-hmm.
the strobe lights, different sets of lighting, you know, and everything. I mean, it was a pretty pretty decently, I want to say, like, open space, too, because there were outside patios as well. And as far as I saw what was going on, there was at least, like, over 300 people in the nightclub.
And it can actually house 300 people at once?
Yes. They did a recent renovation, like, a few years ago from, like, the last time I had gone, and, you know, they, like, opened up, like, a patio area, and, you know, it's like an open space area.
Mm-hmm. And is it, you know, the number of bars will advertise? Was this one advertised on the radio for party and what have you, or is it just standalone, just another bar, and people have become fond of it and gravitate there?
This one, the only time that I would ever know that they would promote anything would be for for Pride Month.
Mm-hmm.
There are different numerous activities that they hold in Orlando for Pride Month. With there are a lot of places, you know, they'll have, you know, like parties here and there, or, you know, just like events and everything. But it pretty much is kind of like it's one of the nightclubs, you know, that's known in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And it pretty much kind of like stands alone. Like, if you know it's there, it's there. You know, they've done promotions for it as well, but, you know, it really was a well-known place.
Mm-hmm. I see. That's what I was getting at. Why would this gentleman, or I use the term gentleman, or this person, pick, you know, and decide to go there? Was it, how did he find, would he have found out? Is it something, well, I mean, like any other bar, advertise or what have you, and he was just focusing on that, so. But
To be honest, I wouldn't even know why this specific bar, you know, nightclub was targeted when there are many, multiple other, you know, bars and nightclubs. But, you know, like, it's just one of those things we will never know until they uncover more, you know, mm-hmm. of, like, what was on the agenda.
And given this, because as you are, you're from here in Hawaii, and you say you were openly gay. Well, the question I have, how does that in play in your mind now? Do you feel that you can still go freely there, or is it bringing about a concern for your safety or what have you, or others?
I think as far as, like, safety goes, you know, it's just sad that these acts instill the fear of people, but, you know, I mean, sadly, the way how, as I put it, you know, it's not going to stop me from going to any events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm a big supporter of the Orlando City Soccer Club, and I am there at every home game. But I think what it does is that it actually makes you more aware of your surroundings and, you know, just try to, you know, just keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm. And if you can you describe the atmosphere of the people, the sentiment? Is it a lot of outpouring of love there? Is it over, you know, people?
No, there is nothing but support here. As soon as all of this was released, you know, you saw everybody coming together. A lot of the donation centers for the blood banks, they are all at capacity right now. My friends and I have been in line for like the last 4 hours, and, you know, we're still writing this out to go ahead and donate blood. And, you know, there's still people showing up, and everyone's pulling together. You know, everyone's coming together as a big community in support of this tragedy.
Can you do us a favor over here? If you could find an address or a phone number or some contact so that others can maybe want to donate or send letters of condolences or an agency. I don't know any offhand now. I tried to look, but I got up this morning and, well, wow, what is this, you know? So
I think as far as I know right now, mm-hmm. any place will be accepting donations for blood. I do have friends that do live out of state, and we're posting on their social media that there are centers in their location that are accepting donations, which will help tremendously out in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. And will you be posting anything on your Facebook where people are updating?
I have posted a few things up on my Facebook. Unfortunately, my account is private, but I do have a Twitter page that is open to the public.
What's that Twitter?
It is going to be HawaiianLion_31.
Hawaiian? Go again with
HawaiianLion_31.
HawaiianLion, okay, _31, okay.
I will be posting any updates of anything, you know, related into this incident,
mm-hmm.
or if there's anything where, you know, people can contribute, you know, to help the cause. So, yes, that account is public, and I have made a few open posts on there.
Okay.
But as soon as I find out anything else that's going on, it will be posted up on my Twitter page.
Okay, and if you find anybody else back there, just you got relatives here, you want to say hello to them, they might be listening.
Hey, guys, if anyone's listening to me right now, I know a lot of you have been trying to get a hold of me or have gotten a hold of me. I have made updates on my Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook that I am fine, but if you are listening to the show and I have not gotten to you yet, I just want to let you know I am safe and I am okay.
Yeah, we just sound and stay safe, but we're backing you and supporting you and have all the good in mind for you, so, and the other members of that community. Or just everyone. I mean, it comes as a shock to nobody wants to wake up to this kind of craziness.
No, nobody does.
Well, thank you, Caitlin Legrenis, and I appreciate it. If you have any new developments or anything, please feel free to give us a call back, and we would love to talk to you. And then,
thank you for having me on air.
Thank you for a way of getting back to us. And how many people? Just describe the line for donors there for blood, or are you there yet?
Well, we're still standing in line. Actually, the location that I am at was the least crowded one. All the other locations that are spread out through Orlando has reached capacity, and they are sending people our way. And by the looks of it, there are still more people showing up to go ahead and, you know, and donate blood.
And the line you're standing in is consists of how many people?
Right now, there's at least, I want to say, at least like over 200 to 300 people. I have been in line for 4 hours, and I still haven't made it yet to the bus, but we're almost there.
You've been in line for how long?
For 4 hours.
Okay, wow. Okay, well, Caitlin, thank you so much. And what is your Instagram account? Is that public, too?
Instagram account is going to be the same as my Twitter handle.
Okay, HawaiianLion_31.
Yes.
All righty. Hey, Caitlin, thank you. Stay safe, and I appreciate
you.
Aloha. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, guys. And there was a caller that called in early. I don't know. Didn't hold on, but just you do understand I wasn't going to interrupt, especially after struggling to get her on air. So call back 524-1080 if you'd like to. And something got to change, folks. And, you know, I don't know what it is. And I hope that this doesn't give rise to more hatred from all angles. You know, again, this is an individual as it stands now. And I don't know the facts. I have nothing. But let's just hope and make sure that let's refrain from the ugly, insulting remarks. And if you don't want to bake a damn cake for someone, don't bake it, but don't make it because it's they're gay. You know what I mean. That kind of nonsense. There's a lot we got to talk about. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Yeah, I don't get why you're blaming this on people in this country that don't swallow the gay agenda when this was done by somebody who has
get
a
it.
Religious belief.
I don't get it. How would you bother to waste your time calling up to start challenging me? Look, I'm just trying to get to make some sense of this. If you could help. Hold on.
I'm challenging you.
No, you're not challenging
what
me.
You're saying,
there's no challenge. There's no challenge. You can talk with me, but there's no challenge.
Okay.
I have no issue.
You used the word challenge. I didn't.
I used the word what?
You mentioned challenge before I did.
Challenge?
Yeah, that's what you said.
Okay, go ahead with your comments. Go ahead. Help
yourself. My comment is that I don't understand how you can blame whether somebody agrees with the gay agenda or don't agree with the gay agenda, how you can blame this incident on people who disagree with the gay agenda. I don't understand how you can say that if somebody passed a law somewhere or attempt to pass a law, somehow that's hateful and that led to this incident. I don't understand that.
Well, sometimes, you know, life is hard when you have to explain the basic commonsensical things, and this is one of those that falls in that category. This gentleman went to a gay bar, right?
Yes.
Okay. So why didn't he go to church or somewhere else? Wherever he went, I would be saying that it must have been religiously motivated. So,
what I don't get is why aren't you saying that?
Well,
what
you would never. You're predisposed.
The thing is that this is motivated by the atmosphere in this country, which is not everybody agrees with the gay agenda.
Have you given any thought that these are human beings before you let out your cattle to run wild mentally and with your comments? Have you? I mean, these are human beings. We have a moment here where the most fragile moment, and you want to start up the old rhetoric. This is common sense, man.
We
are challenged.
No,
it's not.
Rhetoric by blaming people, everybody in this country what took place.
No,
you did. I just got through listening to you on the radio, and you wanted to blame everybody in this country instead of blaming the guy who pulled the trigger. Okay, all this other crap that you're talking has nothing to do with what this man did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nothing.
Well, that's
nothing at all.
That's, I think, is half of our problem, because we're so quick to say, this don't matter, this don't matter. Look, my friend, when we have a climate of hatred being spewed by anybody,
there is an invitation.
There is
a climate of hatred in this country.
Oh, really?
Okay, there are people who disagree, and because they disagree, people like you will say it's hatred.
So yeah.
If you want to see real hatred, you go to the Middle East and be gay, and they'll show you hatred. But I don't hear people like you condemning people in the Middle East. Instead, you're quick to condemn people in this country because they have religious beliefs.
You know why I'm quick to blame people in this country? Because I'm more familiar with this country, because I am a member of this country, and I have lived, and I wake up every morning, and I go to bed every morning in this country, and I'm an intellectually motivated person. That's probably why. And I don't listen to sit and watch TV. And I you know what's really nice about this? I hear the same thing from you and others, that this is a real simple one here, my friend. People died. They died.
Who's celebrating?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and go around in circles with you about putting the blame. There are people died.
Nobody's celebrating.
Well,
you sat and you accused
and
somebody
I still,
in this country.
No, I didn't accuse
them. You're so intellectual. Why don't you get on a plane and fly somewhere and find out how the rest of the world lives before you start blaming people?
Because I can do it electronically. I don't need to get on the plane and go everywhere that I want to debate or discuss something, my friend. That's the unique thing about technology. Welcome to the world. Join in. Join in with me.
There's nothing like being there. And
really?
I've been there. Maybe you want to leave this country and go somewhere else and find out how the rest of the world
Nah. Don't go there. No, I don't.
The people in this country.
I don't have to leave and go anywhere. I can stay right here and be just as verbose and talk about it. And I would invite you, my friend.
You can be just as closed-minded as you are.
Yeah, but
thank you very much.
Thank you for listening in, man. I appreciate it. Okay, it's always nice to know that there's listeners out there, and whether they agree, disagree, or what have you. And again, we as Americans, you see, that's the difference in why I come off the way I do. We know better. We struggle through things, but yeah. Things are bad in wherever, but I'm not wherever. I'm here in America, and the same views that I have here would apply there if I had the opportunity to speak to those leaders or that audience or that community. But again, hatred, whatever the reason is, the reality is people have paid the highest price, lost their lives in a nonsense incident. And so, caller, thank you for calling, it's heartwarming just to know that you're listening. So keep tuning in, and I'm always up for a good phone call like that, like a strong drink of coffee. But I won't be migrating to other places so that I can just learn to see what they're doing and have comment. That would be un-American. Run from the fight. Stay here. So, again, look at the airways, what's being talked about, what's being filled, and I can only remember looking back at HB 444 and all of those things, and same sex marriage and what have you, the vile rhetoric, the sputum that was presented here locally. Now, we didn't have any acts, and we want to talk about discriminations and what have you. There are many people that are gay, can't get a home, or can't get a job. We're in America. I don't know what they do in Sudan. I don't care what they do in Sudan, especially when right here my neighbors are suffering. The people that we know right here that we deal with every day are suffering because of their sexual orientation. And again, I always like the fact that when a conversation starts off, you, and it's kind of crazy. And I would say that for me, that would be one of the reasons that I look over my shoulder and say, if I can't express my opinions, then I'm truly worried about people that want to call up and challenge you in such fashion. So, you know, you can have a conversation and express yourself and say what you got to say and be on your merry way. But anyway, 524-1080 is the number if you'd like to call, and we'll talk. One topic here is, let's see, find this. I got a handful of letters here to all and to Gina and someone out there, and I've been meaning to talk about this, and it just every time it comes up and something else develops. So this is about the Goddard Building out in Kaneohe side near the college, the Wynwood College. And there's a party, apparently, it's the Gunsberg Building, and claiming they're an employee. Now, for the last, I guess, 6 months, and what I would say is that this letter, it's gone out to a number of media sources, and to including me personally, and as well as the radio show. And I while I appreciate receiving these kinds of tips, it's almost as if you want to take it and put it in the trash can, because it's the person, the party writes, tells you everything, but you're sitting there going, well, how do we gain access? How do we confirm this? How do we? And I want to share with you, and maybe the listener out there or that wrote to me and to others, let me just give you an idea. Mr. Cox, I've enclosed letters written in the past few months regarding the illegal removal of about 1,000 boxes filled with personnel files from the Goddard Building at the Hawaii State Hospital. The associate administrator who planned and approved this work did not follow the proper EPA guidelines. Some of us who work in the Gruensberg Building, located next to the Goddard Building, have asked our supervisors to obtain the air sampling data that was supposed to have been done to show that the boxes removed were cleared of asbestos. To date, we have not seen any data that it was ever done, and suspect the contractor was negligent in doing this work. Personnel at the hospital were not informed as required that this work was going to take place or when work was to begin. Personnel noticed that the side doors were open and the windows were never sealed to contain any asbestos that was disturbed. Personnel also noticed that workers were using only half-mask respirators and not full-face type required. All of the boxes were put into large storage containers. When the contract workers opened the containers, they were also always wearing respirator protection, which staff questions that was the boxes were not, the boxes were not cleaned and cleared prior to them being removed from the facility. All boxes and materials were shredded by, I believe, the company Shredded. We think that because there is no data showing these boxes were asbestos-free, the workers from the company contracted to do the work have now been exposed without their knowledge. It is our hope that you will get to the bottom of this and have the state of Hawaii Department of Health and whole personnel, such as associate administrator, and the hospital administrator accountable for their actions and total disregards towards the health and well-being of the personnel working on this. Anthony can be reached, blah, blah. So if you're out there, listener, and you are the one who wrote this letter, I'd love to dive in, but you just don't give enough. I understand your concerns, but if you could, and I normally wouldn't read a letter such as that, but on the air, or bother to talk about it, but this is about the fourth time I've received, and I don't know what the response from the other media, but I've not seen any stories on it. I think you indicate here you sent me a copy of the letter to Gina Mangieri, as well as myself, and then you listed February 17, 2016 as one date of the letter. So if you got more specifics, please give us a call or send me a letter, or I would like to be able to speak with you about that. But, yes, the building was being demolished or renovated or what have you at the time. We did try to take a peek at it, but, again, it's state property, and I'm not going to go into an area where there's potential asbestos. And there may be some validity to your concerns because we are dealing with the state health department, and the facility is a state agency, owned by a state agency, and they don't. They, being the state health department, really just don't hold other state agencies' feet or city agencies' feet to the fire. They just don't. Unless it's, they might give them a small citation or something or a warning, but keep in mind they operate, they being the state health department, operate under the assumption that why cite any state agency or any city agency when, in fact, it's just going to, in their thoughts or theory, is that they're going to tax the taxpayer. If they find a state agency, it's just taking the money out of one purse and putting it in another purse that is owned by the taxpayer, which is nonsense because it's health issues and environmental concerns that are being of greater interest here, not the cost. So anyway, that's what we deal with in Hawaii, and I don't know how we're going to get out of that, but we're going to be talking about quite a bit more of the environmental issues and concerns that I still have yet. In the next hour, we'll talk a bit about Red Hill, but I still have yet to receive the minutes of the meetings that I was promised from Mr. Steve Chang. And so we'll see what happened, and we'll get back to you. And I'll talk about Maha Ulepu and the Hawaii Dairy Farms from an angle of that I've filed document requests for information with agriculture, and I wanted to share with you how there's a draft environmental impact statement out and waiting for public comment. And it's difficult to give comment if you're being strung along and not able to get the information that you would use in building an informed opinion or submitting an objection or what have you. So it's a difficult game to play here in Honolulu in trying to. You don't have to be an expert or have a PhD to give a basic comment because you can obtain the documents and things have developed. And from that, build your response. But if you have a built-in delay with intentional delay on the part of the government agencies who regulate this this activity, it presents a problem. So we'll get on that. And I noticed that the city and county of Honolulu had they participated in the parade. And, you know, that boat we were talking about, they still want to own up to that boat, the lifeguard boat that was supposedly delivered by, given to the city by HCDA. But as I've told you in earlier reports, that never happened. They leased the boat to the city. And so if you look at their you know, in the city here, this, in the state, when you register a boat, I'll give you an example. If you look at their registration, it'll have XS, exempt state, or XC, exempt city. Well, on this boat, it's exempt S when it's actually owned by the city. So there are so many little things that, but just to get it going and make that representation that they're doing so much is the rather difficult. And later we're going to talk about our great mayors and all that went off to New York with the Hokulea and the United Nations on Oceans Day, World Ocean Day, or Saving the Ocean. I couldn't think anything more funnier than understand that there's Kurt Caldwell and other mayors, and we are busy pumping sewage into the ocean. And we have, I can't think of anything that we've done that would rise to the occasion that would suggest that others should duplicate what we're doing. But we'll be back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can pick it up at carolcox.com or kwai1080am.com.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
I remember my first love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. But my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, "Boy,
boy, boy,
oh, I see you sitting out there all alone. Crying your eyes out, 'cause the woman that you love is gone. Oh, there's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life. Oh, so listen to me, get up off your knees, 'cause only the strong survive." That's what she said, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Yeah, you gotta be strong. You better hold on. Don't go around with your head hung down. Well, I wouldn't let the little girl know, wouldn't let her know. know that you made me feel like a clown. There are a whole lot of girls looking for a good man like you. Oh, but you'll never meet them if you give up now and say your life is true. Then she said, oh, little strong survive. Oh, little strong survive. Yeah, you gotta be a man. You gotta take a stand, yeah. So I'm telling you right.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, second half. 524-1080 is the number if you want to call in. I, while off air there, I got a call from a friend that he and I was talking, well, actually two of them. We were talking, and earlier this week, the discussion was about people and freedom of speech and freedom of this, and the question came up, how far do we go with freedom of speech? And the example came up was, that were the people that are burning the flag now. And so it led to, we went back to talking about, there was a show or a news story where it showed there were veteran bikers who, that were bikers that were veterans in some organization, and they were, people were protesting. And they burned the flag, and the veterans went and stepped on the flag and threatened them and what have you. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Do we have free speech? Or now is it the veterans have so committed and more American than any of us that they now can come up when we're expressing ourselves or others, whatever it is, I would never burn the flag. I mean, I respect it dearly. But if others, if we say that it's freedom of speech and freedom of protest and you have your rights to do whatever, then where do we go? Who's right? And one of the callers just called earlier, says it much go to the Middle East, and I should go. I'm hearing a lot of, and many of the things that I hear is, it's like many of the veterans are speaking very strong and as if they got to protect everything. And don't forget, you went to a war zone, we appreciate that, but I was also in the Vietnam War era. So I was in the Army. So you're not the unique individuals who are out there and at any moment could have been sent off to Never Never Land to do anything, to be a part of any war in any theater. But there just seems to be, there's something developing here in my observations is that rather tricky. You know, I love this country. I love the flag. But if I saw someone out there burning it, if the law allows them to, and if the Constitution allows them to, it ain't my place to intervene. And because that's a slippery slope. Where do you stop? I mean, as offensive as flag burning is, and the rhetoric, the anti-American rhetoric, is offensive to me. That's par for the course. That's what it is about being American. I mean, it doesn't make me feel good, but it scares me or raises concern when I see veteran, quote, bikers saying, well, you know, you don't have a right, and they're stamping on the flag and putting it out, and you now, does that violate the rights of others? So I just thought I would throw that tidbit out, and that the caller that I hope that's him, and he can shine some more light on this. I just like to let people have an audience and let you hear how others think. Caller, go ahead with your comments or questions.
Money.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, who owns the flag?
Who owns it?
I mean, if you go to the store and you buy a flag, it's yours. Right?
Yeah.
Right. And if you go to the store and you buy a book, it's yours, right?
Yeah, that's...
If you go to the store and you buy something and then you destroy that you bought and you paid for, is that yours to destroy?
I would think if you paid for it and got it legally, it would be...
Then how is it the freedom of bothering somebody else's freedom of speech?
Hmm? Oh, what are you asking me a question? How is what...
No, if somebody goes and burns a flag, how is it bothering somebody else's freedom of speech?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, they're...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It shouldn't bother anybody, because if you bought it and you paid for it, it's yours.
Yeah.
Do with it as you wish, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're buying it, that starts a whole different discussion, because somebody's making profit on a flag. I mean, you should be able to get one for free from the government.
Right. You know? Well, let's be patriotic. I'll give you a flag.
Pardon me?
Okay. Well, that's just my point of view.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, this is a great place. I mean, everybody complain. I complain about it, too, but that's why I like it. I can, you know, grouchy old man, right?
Yeah. Right.
Complaining. Now, other places that these soldiers have gone and may have learned that they'll shoot you in the head if you spoke ill of the flag. But I'm not there. I don't live there. I live here. And do we have problems here in America? You bet your butt. You betcha.
Right, but anyway, complain about what you need to complain about, because you see it right in front of you.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, people that live other places flock here. Maybe it's for financial benefit or wealth or freedom.
People flock everywhere.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you go to Sweden, they flock there.
They go there, they...
They flock to Germany, they flock to France, they flock everywhere. What is this idea? They're like America something special or something?
Yeah, I mean, you know... It's something that I think it's going to be the end of all of us, because we cloak ourselves in things that it's like, let's be real here. There's going to be disagreements. There are going to be differences.
Right.
But let me ask you, and others can call in, and is there anything that in the world's troubles and the terrorism and all of those things that we are witnessing, do we have any role in causing it?
Yeah, we do.
I ask that being honest, not to stimulate any argument or anything, but...
Well, the blindness of Americans. Other than blindness of Americans is because we cause a lot of problems.
Yeah.
We cause the problems and we say, whoa, what's wrong with me? What's happening with everybody? Terrorists.
Yeah.
But they're here, they're there, they're everywhere. Why?
You know what it is?
Is we got a big stick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we go to the world and we stick the stick up into a big beehive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're coming and stinging us. How come? Are you blind?
Yeah, I have to ask that, because I notice that it's almost people are fearful just asking the simple question, do we have any responsibility in any of this? Do we even know what our Secret Service is doing, our FBI is doing? Do we know what the CIA is doing that stir the hornet's nest? Do we? I mean, or is it that everybody in America and every theory that we have and every rule and policy we have is pure and fair to all mankind?
It's American exceptionalism. We can do no wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else can do no right.
So if that's true, then we should expect more than less of what this violence and nonsense and craziness, because I
actually, we're lucky.
Yeah,
all the troubles we cause in the world, we're lucky.
Yeah, I just think maybe personally, unless we start to own up and rein in some of the activities that I believe is occurring on our behalf.
Right.
Unless we do that, and all of you out there that want to come and throw rocks, I mean, do that. I mean, get a Molotov cocktail and join in like they've done before. So, but. But that is something I thought I would just toss out there and ask. Do we, are we responsible for any of this? And I'm sure the earlier caller will say, I'm blaming on someone else.
Right. Point the fingers. Who else?
Yeah.
But they have no idea that what the cause of it is.
Yeah, I mean, Snowden showed that we're being spied on. So if we are free people and all the things that are going on there, what and being manipulated, what then are we? You follow?
Right.
And I'm not going anywhere near trying to explain why.
Everything you do is trackable, right? Everything you do is being traced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the NSA spying on everybody.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's unfortunate this incident occurred, but it's like, how can we stop this? Is there something we're doing that we could get a handle on this as well? I mean, I'm not going to blame us for everything, but is there something that maybe...
It's a culture of hatred.
Mm-hmm. And the current thing is you this discussion with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and the legislators of the Congress that support Trump. Well, he makes racist remarks, and everybody says, well, yeah, they're racist and blah, 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 but we're just going to move on. Well, what about me? I'm part of this discussion, too. I'm still offended by that. But again, privileged people get to have their arguments and disputes, and we're just fodder.
Right.
You know? Why not the Republican Party and Hillary Clinton stand up and say, no, we're not going to go any further. You are racist. You're bigoted. But then I guess they have to be careful because they would have to be exposing themselves too, huh?
Yep. Right. They cannot say too much, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, but there, I would like to pull their coattail and remind them there is a third party called us.
Okay.
It's not whether they can yell insults at one another and make racist statements that impact others, the third party, and the third party is excluded.
Right.
You know, and they move on and go, well, we'll forgive him on that, but we got to, he's better than Hillary.
Well, the thing is, we'll forgive him on that until they start including you.
Yeah. Well, see, they're privileged. See, they're, that 1% is always privileged. See, they get protection.
They have no idea.
Right.
They have no idea of the privilege.
Mm-hmm.
It's the blindness.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
It's a type of, what do you call it? When the horse, do you have a horse and put those little stuff on the side?
Put blinders on. You only see what's in front of you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And don't wander, no wandering eyes. You might see the truth. Or you might see that you're really standing on a cliff.
Can't have that.
Yeah, well, yeah. Anyway, well,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, it's just a dangerous path or trail we're hiking on here, folks, in life, because I wake up in the morning and I'm bombarded about what others are doing to us, what others are doing to us, and what they're doing to us, and you know, and then you look and you think about India and the empire being built by the British Empire, and the sun never sets in the British Empire. All of that, I mean, is that just the pure sense of life, and man, and we should all accept it, and by accepting it and ignoring it, does that mean we don't allow for an understanding and maybe an explanation as why people are pissed off at us? And that's not on an individual incident or a single incident saying that I should be judged. I'm asking the question. So my question is, can you ask that question? Can you ask yourself, you know, are we so perfect that we are so perfect and the rest of the world from every nook and every cranny is wrong and they just want to kill us? If it is, boy, then the God that many of you know really made an error here. There's some instability or something that's going on here because, you know, that I think that's going to be the answer to many of our problems as human beings. Owning up. If we learn to own up and acknowledge that what we say and do might be offensive and hurt other people and take ownership of that and guard ourselves against that and be reminded that every time we take an act that's going to impact people because of their race, their color, their religion, or their whatever, orientation, sexual orientation, if we continue on this path, we're going to be in a cesspool, a human cesspool worldwide. There will never be any peace, in my opinion. But, again, I don't proclaim to be Gandhi or anybody else. I'm just a guy who sits at the bus station looking around, wondering where the next guy's going with it. And that's it, you know. So we need to own up. And be able to, we find a person like this gentleman, deal with it, have consequences so severe that it would discourage others from wanting to do it. But then maybe we also, again, I'm repeating myself, ask ourselves, what are we doing that would trigger that or cause that or contribute to that, directly or indirectly? So that's about that so much for that, but just thought I'd ask that and share with you. These are the things that I'd engage in. But for you that interested in the Hawaii Dairy project that is being proposed on Kauai, I've had them on the show, the Friends of Maha'ulepu, for a number of occasions. And they are actually asking, and everyone, there's a draft environmental impact statement is now before the state OEQ. It's been submitted. And there's a number of things that I personally believe that that the OEQC should, and the governor should ask to, or delay it, delay that process on these accounts. And that is, the agencies that are responsible for overseeing this project and reviewing documents and what have you have not been timely and open in distributing information to the public like myself who would be interested. There's been delays. I got an email just yesterday where I filed a request for information for the last, I think it was about 3 months ago, and I'm getting this information in parts. And it's supposed to be a friendly response to my, not a hostile response. It's, and they're giving me what they think I need, but then can't find a single email. This is what they're willing to say, and I mentioned this last week. Can't find a single email that they would have received from Ulupono or Hawaii Dairy Farms. This is a state Clean Water Branch. So I'm asking these questions, and okay, so now I get something, and when you get it, they'll give me a document or a portion of a document and say, well, I must remind you, I can give you this portion, 5 pages to show you that it exists, but you'll have to contact Washington, D.C., Office of EPA and get permission from them for us to give it to you. And yet the process goes on, the environmental impact statement, the draft, and the public is going to have a chance to respond to that. But how can we respond if we're being tricked and finagled by the state agency? So I receive another package after saying, well, you know, you got to be timely. Well, I get another package. And it's all information that was sent by friends of Maha'ulepu. Still nothing from Hawaii Dairy Farms. Then I get an email just the other day saying, I'm going to send you this report. This report is about pharmaceuticals and testing of pharmaceuticals in the water at Waiapili Stream on Kauai related to the subject of the dairy. And we're going to send that to you. But today I'm busy. I'm tied up, and I will get it to you by Saturday. Saturday comes, which was yesterday. I wake up, check my email to look to see if I'm excited to read this, because actually I want to write a response to this environmental impact statement. I open my email up, and what does it say? Oh, Carol, I can't send it to you now. My boss want to make sure the numbers are correct. Well, when do I get it? You know? So I then call. Oh, well, I'll get it to you on Monday. Yeah, I'll get it to you on Monday morning. Okay, so let me get this right. The report is already published. It's done by a laboratory. It's science. But your boss got to look at it now. And meantime, the clock ticks on the draft environmental impact statement comments for the public section. Make matters worse, the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, I make a request for records, two requests for records. Two of them they can't find, couldn't find, so I resubmit them. They claim not to have received them, so I resubmit them, which then that's when upon receipt the dates start. The clock ticks, 10 days. Well, that's been about 2 months, and I get a portion of a report. Then I resubmit, and the young lady that handled these records at the Department of Agriculture is going to respond, and I didn't hear anything for 2.5 weeks. So I call up to ask, oh, I have it all ready for you, but, and it was, I was going to send it out 2 weeks ago, but I got sick. So I'm going to send it to you next week. Okay. Well, I haven't received that yet. But then on my third request that they did receive, that they finally received, they then send me a letter saying on Friday morning or Friday, no, Thursday, I'm sorry, because Friday was a state holiday, and telling me that you can pick this up, but you must pay us $57 for the copying. So I'm sharing this with you. As you know, I had Governor David Ige on the show and thought that just let him come in and talk and share with us about transparency and public. And he claims that he's transparent. But I'm going to tell you something. David Ige's administration is not transparent. Far from it. I don't even believe that his administrators, appointees, even give a rat's butt about public right, public access to records, transparency, or anything. And I say that because I, at every turn of the knob, at every door that I knock on, at every email that I send, is met to that agency. I still have letters that they haven't even responded to. For example, the Radford High School matter. Months, almost a year now. Makalapa Elementary School. Letters where our children are impacted and exposed to hazardous materials. Won't respond. So this claim that David Ige is transparent, he is. We can see right through him. He's just another engineer sitting there, and he has built around him this good old boy system of familiar friends or people he can trust. There's nothing changed, folks. Nothing. His appointees are act as if they can operate without any concern for punishment, for failure to do the job, for obstructing public access to records and information. So I think that from my point, this administration, the EGA administration, unless they can back it up and show something different, in my opinion, they're the worst. His administration is worse than the Neil Abercrombie administration. They're surly, they're arrogant, they're disrespectful, and they're tricky. And they will have a full-on discussion with the developers, the builders, businesses that are proposing businesses, polluters. They'll have open dialogue with them. But for myself, a public person who's interested in responding to environmental impact statements and all, we can't get that information. So therefore, we can't make an informed opinion. Flying by the seat of our pants. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions. Hello? I'm losing you there. Hello? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I have a nice car, and the kids go to private schools, enjoying all the fruits and favors that this great country gave them, but then they're bashing. Oh, this is a horrible country. It's not exceptional. Well, you know what? Just talk to some hypocrites here and ask them what they think of America. And you know, most of them say it's a great country. They have to go back to the country they came from. It's a country of opportunity. So it is exceptional. And we've done wrong things? Sure. But country hasn't. But, you know, I just don't see you living the good life in America and in tracking it.
I didn't hear the full part of your conversation. You were breaking up and very faint at one time.
Oh, well. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, did you hear my basic?
No, I didn't. That's why I was soliciting more from you. I didn't hear that.
Well, basically, I'm just saying the people are here. I see people here that have a million-dollar house and big car. Their kids are all going to private school. They're living the good life in America, but at the same time, they're bashing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're enjoying the fruits of the labor of this great country, but they're bashing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sure, we've done some bad things. Most countries have that have been around a couple hundred years or more. And, you know, just talk to an immigrant here. Most immigrants I talk to love this country. They don't want to go back to where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say we are an exceptional country. We're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, man, I mean, if you can come here dirt poor and make it here, and there's not many countries that allow you to do that.
And there are some people come here poor and still are poor.
True. I'm not a rich man, and I have no idea where the guy was coming from. He could have been, you know, homeless in the park, that caller.
Welcome to the club. Neither am I. I'm not rich either. So I understand what you're saying, and I don't know. There are people that come here, the brain drain. You know, there's a lot of people, if you look, our government solicit and look to import people that are educated, right?
Yes.
And contribute to high tech. And we import them, we invite them. And they come here and they have no reason to be part of the struggle.
Well, true. I mean, my mother immigrated from Sweden, and her, you know, my grandfather actually worked for Lockheed Martin, so he was, you know, probably, sought after as a, you know, like a rocket scientist.
Right.
You know, there's people that come here with no skills, and, you know, I worked for a Mexican tile setter that came here with no skills, worked for a tile setter for a few years, and now he's making, you know, $50 a year. So, you know, the opportunity is here. It's what you make of it.
Yeah, and but again, and That's what I appreciate. I mean, I can sit here, we can talk about it, and hopefully in the next week we don't get shot and bombed for saying what we're saying. But
yeah, well, you know, it only takes one wacko with a gun to just mess everything up. You know?
But again, that's the joy is that, like everything, you got to keep pulling maintenance on it. If you paint a house, you got to come back in 5 years and pull maintenance on it because the weather, the sun, and the elements will weather it and it'll turn foul, you know, ashy. So you got to keep polishing it, and with discussions and open discussions, but people shouldn't be mad. And finding out, I don't know. I mean, 50 people being killed is I still can't register that as to how we get there. That is painful.
Well, you know, religion is a great thing, but when it makes you do things like that, you know, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I don't know any details of that, but I just worry that we're on that path where we might be spawning our own people here to trigger them to do things like that.
I tend not to be an apologist. Like I said, we've done wrong, but once you go down that apology road, then every time this happens, the blame takes off the trigger man and starts putting it on the country, which it's a bad road to go down to.
I don't think I hear that a lot, putting off the blame. I don't believe anybody ever intend to pass the buck. I just think it's a part, one aspect of the discussion, one element. And then we hear people jump to the conclusion, well, an apologist. No, it's part of the conversation. You look contextually, you look at it all, you know.
It is. But then I hear people say, you know, the reason the Muslims hate us is because the world has a Christian power structure now. Really? That's kind of an intolerant attitude right there.
Well, I don't know. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. I know a lot of Christians, and whether Catholic, Protestant, and the crap I hear out of their mouth about Muslims, they just not picking up sticks and acting, or maybe they are and we don't know it. I don't know. And so I just think worldly, we need to get away from that and understand religion and believe it. And if the Muslim, I mean, I have my reservation about all religion, personally. I'm scared of all of them because they've shown historically, you know.
Yeah, well, yes, true. I think, though, Christianity is probably advanced the most, I'd have to say, from where they started. But, I don't know if I consider myself a Christian. I say I believe in God, but, you know, I don't judge people. Like,
right.
I don't judge gay people. Even if you don't agree with their lifestyle, the Christian's whole belief is it's for God to judge, not them.
Yeah, but, you know, when you take people that, have, depending on what's their exposure and experience, and then you and I engage in a conversation, and immediately I proceed to dismiss you and say that you're completely wrong, and you're always this, and you make this, then that would be wrong of me, because I haven't even accepted every frailty that I have or identified them all, right?
Hey, well, supposedly only God's perfect, right?
That's what I was getting at. Okay, well, thank you.
All right, Carol.
All right.
Aloha.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments, questions.
Thank you very much to try to be consistent with the focus of your program. I think in terms of two things, culture and power, and who has the power and who designates the culture. In 1945, the Accords gave the United States the power to almost rule the world after World War II. There is a corporatocracy, corporation banks, colluding government, the propaganda, they frame the argument. And whether it's here in Hawaii or everything you have been discussing, one specific example, Ecuador, many others, but for now just one, Iran.
Mm-hmm.
We removed Mossadegh from Iran and put in the Shah. That was a fact. That's just one country. And if you go to Central and South America and you look at the facts behind how those governments were removed, and the next question is why? And I think the answer is economic.
Mm-hmm.
And I support what you are saying. One, I think, and I don't, but I think you have to have a sense of history. And you have to look at everything through culture and power.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the power? They can dictate the culture. Does the culture dictate the power? Nazi Germany, Hitler, took over Norway. First thing he did, he wanted to destroy the culture, take away the language and so forth. Control the culture, and you control the country.
Yeah, well, you know, we talk about these issues and all, and I'm always reminded, and I personally remind myself that I believe, and this is Carol Cox's conclusion, Coxism. That is, as long as we have 50%, approximately 50% of the world's population of human beings not free, then we have a problem. And that population is women. I mean, whether you're in America, we don't beat them in the streets and all, but a woman can get raped and get the guy gets 3 months. And we, you asked that lady, was it she want to be stoned in some Muslim country or be treated and violated like that? And then a judge gives such lenient, and we hit not just that one incident, and pay and all of those things. So unless we, you know, we don't have to worry about what we've done abroad. I think the American way loses its stance or its strength when we see right here on our own shores.
Yes.
The discrimination, the hatred, and then what generally now, and there are some men too that experience the same thing, spousal breakup, marriages. The guy can live in the next county and father five kids and have a family and decide to find some new wife and don't pay child support. And that wife on that is he had is struggling to feed those. That's a right that to at least this person is obligated, in my opinion, that he should be compelled legally to be responsible for feeding and clothing and educating his kids.
If they're unconscionable, you cannot deal with them on a moral level.
Yeah, but you understand. So
of course,
some people go, well, you know, you're wacky. You're uh-huh. talking about you're anti-American. No, I'm saying that if all of this makes up the fabric of America, and if there's any flaws. And that could be easily attended to, then let's do that. Let's not call names and, well, you know, you're blaming an apologist for this guy and that guy. No, I'm saying look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, why can't you, the mirror won't lie to you, why can't you fit in those jeans that you bought 5 years ago? Right?
Yeah.
So look in the mirror. It'll tell you why now everybody call you Mr. or Sir. Rather than by your first name or your nickname, because you got a couple wrinkles that you don't see. The mirror will remind you. So if we look inside, inward, and acknowledge what it is that we may be doing, the real picture, then maybe we can fix a lot of things. And then when we catch some guy like this guy, we deal with him so severely that the next guy that have an idea will never, right?
There has to be consequences.
Yes.
And there has to be significant consequences. And until that happens, I think, until the people, because I don't see the politicians, whether it's globally or whether it's here in Hawaii, I don't see them acting on behalf of the people.
Yeah, and unless we do, I sit back and think, wow. What is it that we really have control over when we know that the CIA and there may be other elements within our government that we don't know about?
Exactly.
That even the president is not even apprised of. Now, there's that segment of the population that admire that kind of secrecy and all of that. But that's an element that could operate on its own, do things. And I think, and I'm going to let you say... But I think the greatest insult of humanity is that when we think that we can operate with impunity or without consequences on other people, and don't go away thinking that they are human beings and the same things that upset us will upset them. If we don't get a grasp of that soon, we're going to be in total chaos. Because you,
I'll say something totally abstract, but and I really don't even know how to spell it, but existentially, you have intellect, emotion, imagination, and intuition. To prove that you exist, you should use all of those, because otherwise you're a plant or an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And in the terms of doing this for yourself, no, you have a responsibility to do this to the best of your ability for other people.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, a guiding principle. And
yeah.
It doesn't make any difference whether the magnificent obsession is not knowing. Nobody has to know what you do.
But isn't there a danger? What I hear currently and is that if you dare offer a bit of insight that is different than just other than take a stick, kick their ass, and do them in, if you ain't speaking in that vein, anything else is you're softy, you're an apologist, you're... Isn't that a dangerous path that we're on?
Of course. It means not 1776. Are
mm-hmm.
you kidding me? Our government was founded upon revolution and not accepting that. I'm going to have to go, but I just wanted to repeat from the new confessions of an economic hitman, and he's got many, many, many instances.
Mm-hmm.
And whether this is globally or local, false economics, false promises, threats, bribes, extortion, debt, deception. And I think that you could confirm each one of those generalizations in terms of here and or globally.
They present themselves as in our daily media. We
yep.
hear the one side. Well, the president, we just learned that the president blew up somebody else, and then, you know,
yep.
hey, and that's all right. Well, guess what? Where this took place, they were human beings. You forgot to put that in place in part of the equation. And human beings have emotions.
Go ahead.
Human beings have emotions and memory.
I left out one. Unbridled military power.
Right. And I just think that the average person listening to me talk like this will go, oh, you know, softy, communist, or whatever. And it's always a label. And
of course.
And there are things that are presented to us. It's just we have to be responsible and own up to our actions.
That's why you are so important, giving us a voice. You have the capability and knowledge to be able to research in ways we can't or don't know how to. And when we listen to what you say, we discern whether you're telling the truth or not. And we, because we have the freedom to do so. But without you and some others, we will never learn the truth because they frame the arguments.
Yeah, and I think that the way I look at it, so we take Australia, the allied forces, and anybody that disagrees with me, welcome home, welcome to the club, and I appreciate it. We'll deal with it later. But let's just lay it out and say that what if there was a population of human beings that you showed up on their border in their country and you came to save them from the wrath of Saul or whatever it is, or
yes.
from their leader, their dictator, and you're the allied forces, and the allied forces, they became the allied forces, and they became in existence because if there's the Australians, what do they do to the native people? If they're British, what do they do with the people in India and other in Africa and the Belgium and all those? And then to think that you could continue to operate and educate people and they not ask the question, well, should I trust you? Look, how is that you end up with all the jewels and all the power?
Exactly.
And then I'm not making excuses. If you're ignorant enough to think that I'm restricting it to this one individual act or terrorist. No, I'm asking the bigger question. Unless we address all of those and own up to it and acknowledge, you might be an allied force, but we know what you did to the native people. You might be an ally force, but we know what you did to the native people in Australia, in America. And so you think they wouldn't trust you?
And why did you do it?
Yeah, you see, and those of you that think that this is insanity, a man that's insane, I'm saying world peace can only be had unless we spoke specifically to the real truth, or at least acknowledge the incidents or the events.
Education starts with education.
Yeah. And
information in order to act.
I mean, whether it's, you know, I people, they talk about killing this person, killing that person, and they're evil. No, we can't tolerate any of that. I don't care if you're white, blue, green, or Catholic, gay, straight. We just...
No, they hide behind the word evil. Evil connotes religion, and they hide behind religion so they don't have to deliberate. They don't have to use any critical thinking. It's simply dualistic, black, white, good, bad, evil.
Imagine being able to play out all these things like the Grand Canyon and the monstrous weather and the beautiful oceans and all that and tell people and say, now you've met God. Now act like you know God and act like you're part of this creation, whatever, whoever created it or whatever it is. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, and that thing that just swam by, that's a whale, and they're fragile, too. Their population is fragile. And,
yes.
But instead, here's how we do it. We want to, politically, for human concerns and human gain, we ignore our impact, so we declare war on someone or take action of violence, and we, in the process, we train our weapons, we build our weapons, and we kill animals. So we as human beings need to reevaluate.
Immediate gratification.
You understand?
Yes,
it's not just the Muslims or the Sikhs or the, that we disagree with that we're impacting or whoever. We're impacting as human beings everything. And, you know, you declare war.
No man is an island unto himself.
But anyway, it just says a lot about the way we look at everything. You know, we train our weapons and we build nuke subs and fast subs and
I got Mr. Cox. I have to go to get my van.
You got a van? Oh, the handy van.
Let me give you one last term, gestalt. Everything we talk about is interconnected, organically related. You can't speak of and deal with any one aspect because it affects every other aspect. And whether it's globally, nationally, or here in Hawaii, it's
right.
All a gestalt.
Just remember, if you tie a rope to a boat and forget to tie it to the dock, it drifts off. So that's the way we as human beings think now. We tie we deal with one end of the rope and ignore the rest of it. You see, that's why we are adrift in rough waters.
Yeah. Thanks. On that happy note, I'm happy.
All righty.
I gotta go get the van.
We'll talk to you later. Aloha.
Thank you very, very much.
Well, again, forget all the other things and going back to just the function of state government. If we deviate and allow them to continue on this trail of practicing the way they do and serving only people with money or people with influence or people that are in the know, then we're going to probably end up with homeless people living in the parks, polluted water. Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in that area, sewage, people with super bacterias now. And I will say to you, I read an article just yesterday about the super bacteria found in the waters of Brazil and due to the dumping of raw sewage and sewage, untreated sewage water and what have you. And I thought, my, I could waste another 10 hours on this show talking about that and no one would believe me that there are probably the same superbugs that have shown up in our waters, but because of the clandestine, cheap, thieving ways that the state health department operates and that the governor and the legislators operate, there's no telling if the sampling. Remember, the governor's staff and his administration, under his administration, refused to post a river on Kauai or even in Kahalu and other areas that say contaminated with human fecal matter. So while we look off at Rio de Janeiro and talk about the superbug, and I believe that knowing what I know about the state health department now, they got Red Hill, they're behind closed doors, finally dragging, leaking it out that there's contaminants in the water, but they're safe, but not telling you there's safe levels. There are no safe levels determined by EPA standards. So they get to set their own standards and then declare it safe. I wouldn't trust much of anything in the state of Hawaii when it comes to protecting the people's interests. There's always, they're going to sequester the information. They're going to hide it, and they're going to lie about it until they're pushed in a corner. And they want the Zika bacteria brought here and all. I'm fearful that anything, the way they operate here, I wouldn't allow them to do anything until they step up to. Look at the cancer center, how the news stories that were there, dumping samples and from into the sewer. You may have remembered that on that I was in a couple of news articles on KGMB. So I don't trust much. But anyway, again, my heart aches for the people there in Florida, and it aches for all of us because it just should never happen. We shouldn't have to wake up to hear or see any of that going on anywhere, not just here, but abroad and anywhere. So we'll talk to you next week. Thank you for joining. And this is the Carol Cox Show. Carol at carolcox.com is the email. And send me any messages you like. Aloha. I remember.
Every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.